Morning, everyone. Welcome back to our 3 Ideas in 30 Minutes. As you notice, I have a little bit of case of laryngitis. Baruch Hashem, I feel fine, 100% fine. Otherwise, just my throat sometimes gives out when I have bad allergies, when I get a little cold. So you are hearing me with complete laryngitis. Anyways, hope all is well. I hope everyone's having a beautiful Friday morning. We are back here for our favorite 30 minutes of the week. 3 Ideas in 30 Minutes. I want to thank our sponsor, as always. Sponsor in memory of Teddy Kellen, Shimon Tuvia Ben Dov, Yehuda Leib Chaim. Our learning should be in Aliyah for his neshama. Parshas Chayisara is once again such a jam-packed parsha in so many different ways. We will hope to tease out 3 ideas, hopefully some that are new to you that we can use for our Shabbos table conversations and elevate our Shabbos experience altogether. Okay, here we go. Idea number one comes from a Gemara in Baba Basra. Those who daven in the Shtibel Minyan over Sukkahs here at BRS. I use this Gemara in a different context, but I will talk about it here within the context of Parshas Chayisara. And that is, of course, because in this week's Parsha, the Torah tells us that Va'avram Zakein Baba Yamim, Va'Hashem Beirach Es Avram Bakol, that Avram was getting old, and Hashem blessed Avram Bakol. He blessed him with everything. Right, what does the word everything mean? So it means wealth, possessions, longevity, honor, children. In other words, this was the point of his life. When Avram Avinu had every single thing that he wanted. But the Gemara of Baba Basra, picking up on this word, Bakol, says something fascinating. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, Evan Tova Haisa Tluya Betzavaro Shel Avram Avinu, that there was a precious stone that would hang from the neck of Avram Avinu. Shakol Chole Haroa Oso Miyad Misrape. Right? A play on the word Bakol. So Shakol, says the Gemara, that every Chole, that anyone who's sick, Haroa Oso Miyad Misrape, that any sick person who would see this stone sitting on Avram's neck, they would immediately be cured. Now, obviously, that in and of itself is a very strange Gemara. What does that mean? That Avram had miraculous capabilities? We'll have to see what that means. And when Avram Avinu passed from the world, that Hashem hung this stone in the orbit of the sun. Now, again, there's so many parts to this Gemara which are so difficult to understand. Number one, what is this precious stone? Number two, why is it hanging around Avram's neck? Number three, why did sick people suddenly become better the moment they looked at this stone? And number four is, why did Hashem give it over to the sun? What practical ramifications does it have for us? So over Sukkot, when I quoted this Gemara, I quote it in the context of Koheles, because Koheles over there says in the third pasuk of Perek Aleph, Ma Yisron La'adam Bechol Amalo She'amol Tachas Hashamash. Now we usually read that as two parts of the same pasuk. Ma Yisron La'adam, what's the point of it all? Bechol Amalo, everything that you strive for, She'amol Tachas Hashamash, that you're working under the sun. So what? You don't even need the second half of the pasuk. You could have just said Ma Yisron La'adam Bechol Amalo, what's all this worth? What does the second half of the pasuk, She'amol Tachas Hashamesh, add to the conversation whatsoever? So I suggested over there, that what it adds to the conversation is that it's not two parts of the pasuk, but it's a question and answer. Ma'yisron la'adam b'chol amalo. What's the point of everything that we're doing? She'amol Tachas Hashamesh. That we should work Tachas Hashamesh. What does it mean, Tachas Hashamesh? So if you understand in the context of this Gemara that this stone, that this Evan Tova, that this precious stone is now in the sun, it means that when you and I work under the sun, we're really accomplishing the same exact thing that Avram Avinu was able to accomplish. In other words, the same way Avram Avinu brought a healing component to those who were downtrodden, so too says Koheles, that is what you and I should be engaged in. Not selfish activities in this world of self-glorification, of earning wealth and prestige and honor, but rather we're supposed to engage in things in this world, She'amol Tachas Hashamash, the same way Avram Avinu was able to uplift the spirits of everyone else, so too, that is what you and I should be engaged in as well. Not selfish acts, but selfless acts. With that, I want to now share with you a beautiful insight of Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer. Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer was the last chief rabbi of the city of Krakow. And he has a beautiful insight. He says, you know, what Avram Avinu had was something unique, which was the ability, despite any adversity that he faced in life, the ability to still find Hashem and to find the beauty in everything that he was experiencing. So Avram's 10 tests that he goes through, the Eser Nisyonos, those are a paradigm for us of what it means to overcome the Nisyonos in our lives, to overcome the tests of our lives, but to recognize them not as miserable experiences, but to recognize them as experiences of growth, to overcome that adversity and to come out even stronger on the other side. And so Avram Avinu had this capacity that when people saw him, he would be able to heal, not their bodies, but he would be able to heal their souls. In other words, someone would be going through something difficult. Someone would be going through a moment of adversity. And Avram Avinu always had the right thing to say. He always knew exactly what to say and exactly what to do in order to lift that person up and to make them feel just a little bit better. He had this ability to take all the lessons that he learned in life and what he learned about God. And he had the ability to heal people's soul with that. And so someone would come to him downtrodden. Someone would come to Avram sickly. And the precious pearls that were around his neck was his gift of speech. It was his ability to help people. It was his empathy. It was his caring nature. It was his capacity to help. It was his capacity to show his concern. And so they weren't magical, mysterious stones that hung around Avram Avinu's mouth, neck. But rather, Avram Avinu had this innate ability that when someone would come and they'd feel downtrodden, he would be able to lift their spirits. He would be able to show that empathy. He would be able to show that despair. And so someone would come to Avram Avinu and they would be down in the dumps. And Avram Avinu would be able to lift them up. He would be able to encourage them. Someone who was unable to see the bigger picture, Avram was able to come to them and share with them how the world works and how Hashem is in charge of everything and how there's a master plan called Avir Rachman al-Atav of it, that we can't always see or experience the master plan, but that's what our Amunah does. And so the person who came sick, who came beaten down and demoralized and downtrodden, would interact with Avram Avinu. They would look at those precious stones and they would immediately feel just a little bit better about themselves. And if that's the case, and if you put these two ideas together, then it actually makes perfect sense. V'shash nifter Avram Avinu olam, Avram Avinu dies. So what do we do? Where do people go? Talak HaKadosh Baruch Hu begal gochama. In other words, it becomes on us. Bechol asher yamol tachas hashamesh. What are you and I supposed to do? You and I are supposed to tap into that exact same energy. That's what you and I are supposed to give over to everyone around us. That empathy, that care, that concern, to recognize that life isn't simply about us and our advancement and our self-interest, but it's about helping other people as well. It's about giving a phone call, Erev Shabbos, to someone who is in need. It's about looking for opportunities for chesed all around you. It's when someone's going through a difficult time. This happens to me all the time. Al chatai ani maskir ayom. But all the time, I'm running to something. I'll have a meeting. I have an event I need to get to, so I'll run out of shul, or I'm running out of the parking lot, and I catch someone out of the corner of my eye. And you have that moment right then and there where you say to yourselves, I gotta go, but I also know that this person needs a smile, this person needs a hug, this person needs someone to listen to them. And it's at that moment that you ask the question, am I gonna be the children of Avram Avinu? That I'm gonna think about that stone that hung under Avram's neck, and that gave him the capacity to show that empathy and concern, or am I going to run away and take care of my own needs? And so it's a reminder about chesed. It's a reminder about what exactly we are here on this earth to do, which is to give in service to other people, to help other people, to show that empathy, to show that care and concern, to alleviate the suffering of those around us. That is idea number one. I thought it was an absolutely magnificent and gorgeous idea that we saw from Rav Yisrael Nechemiah Kuznetzer, Kornitzer, who was the last chief rabbi of Krakow. Idea number two I shared at Mincha Maariv this week, but I think it's such a beautiful idea. I want to expand upon it just a little bit here. Now, when Avram Avinu is sending his faithful servant Eliezer, Eliezer's name, of course, we know does not appear in the entire Parsha, even though Eliezer is central to the entire Parsha. I spoke about that in my article this week, if you want to read it there as well. Why isn't Eliezer's name appear? What does that tell us about Eliezer? But when Avram Avinu excuse me, when Avram Avinu is on his way to go, lubrication, when Avram Avinu is on his way to go to send Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak, the pasuk says, "Vasbiacha Adonai Elohei Hashemayim veElohei Haaretz," that he swears in the name of God of the heavens and veElokei Haaretz and the God of the earth. Asher lo tikach isha livnei mibnos kenani asher anochi yoshev bekerbo. He says, I'm not taking a woman for Eliezer from the daughters of Canaan, and of course, therefore, he sends Eliezer out. The Medrash picks up on this. And the Medrash picks up on Elokei Hashamayim veElokei Haaretz. And says the Medrash something astounding and wild. Ad shelo ba Avram Avinu la'olam, until Avram Avinu came into this world, Hashem was only the king over Shemayim. Hashem's domain was in the heavens. Aval misheba Avram Avinu la'olam. But when Avram Avinu came into this world, himlichu ala shamayim v'ala aretz. So Avram coronated Hashem as a king over shamayim and aretz, over the heavens and the earth. It's an astounding comment. What is it that Avram, until Avram Avinu said Elokei Hashemayim Elokei Haaretz, Hashem didn't exist in this earth? What does that mean? See, it's elsewhere in a different medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. Ad shelo hodati oso libriosav, Avram Avinu says, until I proclaimed God's name to his creations, he was just Elokei Hashemayim. He was just the God of the heavens. V'kevan shehodati oso libriosav, but once Avram proclaimed God in this earth, so then he was also Elokei Haaretz. So says the Medrash that Avram Avinu brought a new concept into this world. You used to think that the only way to interact with God and to have a relationship with God was to transcend this earth, was to remove yourself from this earth. Because if God only exists in the heavens, then the only way for me to have that relationship with God means me transcending this earth and scaling the heavens. And we know there are many religions that have that relationship with Hashem, that I have to remove myself from this earth, that I have to meditate, to remove myself from all forms of physicality in order to relate to Hashem. Avram Avinu's chiddush in this world, the novelty that Avram Avinu created in this world, was the notion that you could interact with God not by transcending this world, but quite the opposite, by living in this world. We interact with God every time we sit down to eat something and we make a bracha before we eat it. We interact with God tonight as we sit down at our Shabbos table and we sing Zmiros and we make Kiddush and we make Hamotzi. We are bringing God into this world. And so the Chiddush of Avram Avinu is you don't need to look up there. You can experience God all around you. And if you think about it, we've spoken about it in previous weeks, how exactly did Avram do that? In very trivial, mundane ways. Hachnasas Orchim, welcomed in guests, Biker Cholim, he visited sick people. In other words, Avram found God in very physical, interhuman interactions. Avram found God not by going up to a top of a mountaintop, but Avram found God by bringing a challah to someone every Shabbos. Avram found God by opening his house and inviting guests in who needed. Avram found God when he called someone every Shabbos and said, I heard you had a bad week, just checking in on you. That is not just Elokei Hashemayim, but that's Elokei Haaretz. That's where we find God here in this earth as well. It's an enormous chiddush that we sometimes take for granted, but says the Medrash, never take it for granted, because that was a novelty of Avram Avinu. The Ramban says that we see this from a Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara in Zvachim says, Lo ikrivu b'nei Noach shlamim, that the children of Noach, in other words, the non-Jews of the world, they would not bring a korban shlamim. All they would bring was a korban ola. Now, what's the difference between a korban shlamim and a korban ola? So those who do the daf yomi will know this. But a korban ola is a sacrifice that was brought completely on the Mizbeach. It was completely consumed on the Mizbeach. You didn't benefit from it at all. Korban shlamim was the opposite. Korban shlamim, you brought the korban to the Beis HaMikdash. Half of it got brought on the Mizbeach. You know what happened in the other half? Any kohanim here? You'd make a massive barbecue. You'd enjoy the basar, you'd enjoy the meat. You'd go to Oak and Ember and they'd just bring out the meat out over and over and over again. So says the Gemara that the non-Jews of the world only brought a korban olah, they can't bring a korban shlamim. What does that mean? So the Maharal explains in the Gemara over there in Zvachim that the non-Jews of the world, they can understand this concept of an olah. In other words, when I have to give over everything to Hashem, when I have to remove myself from this world, that's a concept they can understand. But a korban shlamim is the exact opposite. A korban shlamim says that the way you interact with Hashem is through a barbecue. That the way you interact with Hashem is through a Suda Shabbos. That the way you interact with Hashem is by making a l'chaim and a simcha. That the way you interact with Hashem is by checking in on someone. That's a korban shlamim. They can't understand that. And so says the Maharal, the chiddush of Klal Yisrael, the chiddush of the Jewish people is that we don't only interact with Hashem through the korban olah, but rather, we also interact with Hashem through korban shlamim. We understand what it means to find God in this world. And that's really the charge to every single one of us. I think it's one of the most beautiful parts of Judaism because it sanctifies so many of our mundane actions, so many things that we might think are trivial, so many things that we might question. We have to remind ourselves are filled and saturated with moments of Kedusha. And so whether it's something as simple as smiling at someone, whether it's a Shabbos meal, whether it's a call on Erev Shabbos, whether it's visiting a sick person, we have opportunities to bring Elokei HaShamayim into Elokei HaAretz, to make Hashem here on this earth a Dira Batachtonim, a dwelling place here on this earth by our very physical actions. So idea number one came from the stone that hovers around Avram Avinu's neck, that it was not a magical stone. Avram had this capacity to show empathy, to uplift the spirits of those around him. That is our charge. L'chol asher yamol tachas ha-shamesh. Right, when Hashem gave it over to the sun, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to recreate that stone of Avram Avinu by introducing more empathy and more care and more concern into this world. Beautiful idea of the Krakow Rav. Idea number two came from this Maharal. Right, what does it mean, Elokei HaShemayim, Elokei HaAretz? The Chiddush of Avram Avinu that we should never, ever for a second take for granted. And the last idea, because my throat is leaving me shortly, is I will share from you a beautiful insight that I saw from Harav Eliyahu Meir Bloch, which I think is a beautiful insight. And it's so simple, and we all know it, but I think it bears repeating because, of course, this is the Shabbos of Eliezer. We know that so much of this Parsha is superfluous. Right, if you and I were writing a book, you and I would probably not have put in much of Parshas Chayisara. Maybe Dickens. Dickens would have put in Chayisara, right? Didn't Dickens get paid by the page? I remember my mom told me that when I read Great Expectations, which was like a month-long root canal. But as I was reading Great Expectations, now you understand why it's so long and why there's so much worthless stuff in there. So if I were writing, or maybe Dickens were writing, I would have left it out. Dickens would have put it in. I would have left it out. And yet we know Hashem didn't get paid by the page. Hashem doesn't add in extra stuff. So why is it that Hashem put in the entire Parshas Chayisara, which recounts something so trivial and something so seemingly insignificant? Says Rav Eliyahu Meir Bloch, a beautiful insight, that we have a natural tendency in life to dismiss minor things as insignificant and to focus instead on great accomplishments. And so we overlook those insignificant, trivial stepping stones because we don't really think they make a big difference. We want to make a difference. We look on a massive scale. But yet you and I know that in life, that's simply not the case. Simply not the case. That oftentimes in life, by and large, it is those small, oftentimes unnoticed efforts which are far more important than the things that make so much noise. So let's take a marriage, for example. I'm going to give everyone here marriage advice. Perhaps I learned it the hard way along the way in my last 15 years of marriage. If you only tell your spouse you love them once a year on the anniversary, you're in trouble. If you only tell your spouse once a year when you give the anniversary card and you don't even acknowledge them the rest of the year, bad news. Right? You and I know that a relationship is not made up by what you do on the anniversary once a year. The relationship is made up of lots of very small, seemingly unnoticed and trivial acts of love and kindness throughout the year. So it's a text message, a phone call, a note you leave on the lunch, whatever it is, right? It's those small things which develop and build a relationship, which grow. And then, yeah, you got to do the anniversary, right? That I've also learned the art. You got to do the anniversary. But you can't only do the anniversary and overlook those small steps along the way. And so what says Reb Lach, what this parsha is really teaching us, is that finding Rivka, which was a big act, it represented the creation of a Jewish people. It was a massive stepping stone in the foundation and creation of the Jewish people. And yet, you know what the Torah reminds us? Is finding Rivka was a lot of really small, insignificant acts. Right? We should never be discouraged for thinking big and aiming big. But we also should never ignore those small, seemingly insignificant details along the way. That great accomplishments are made of lots of little stepping stones. I always think about it in the context of marathon training. You don't just show up at a marathon and you run. Right? A successful marathon is because for 4 or 5 months before, you are out there every single day putting one foot in front of the other. And to be honest, having trained for a marathon, sometimes when you do that, you want to strangle yourself. Right? When you get up early in the morning, you're like, I got to do this again. My speeds aren't improving. What's the point? At the end of the process, you realize that you never could have gotten to that marathon without those mornings, without putting one step in front of the other. Says Reb Lach, that is a reminder for us in our lives. Now, he takes this idea one step further, and I think it's so beautiful. He says, because we as parents, and I'll apply this to grandparents or really anyone, we sometimes get frustrated by those small actions. We sometimes forget how significant they are. So for example, you're doing homework with a child, or you FaceTime with your grandchild and you might learn with them for 5 minutes or share Dvar Torah. Did you hear what Rabbi Moskowitz said on 3 Ideas with 30 Minutes? Right? You might smile at a clerk in the supermarket today and you don't see the value in it. You don't see the kedusha in it. Says Reb Lach, no, this parsha is the parsha for you. It's a parsha that when you sit with a child or a grandchild or with someone you're tutoring and you give them your undivided attention, that is filled with kedusha. You share a Dvar Torah, you share an inspirational idea with a grandchild, you smile at someone who needs, you might think it's insignificant. But Parshas Chayei Sarah reminds us that even when we fail to see it, in reality, every single one of those small actions forms a building block of something very special. It forms the building block that will take us to something that is grandiose, that is amazing, and that is enormously consequential. And so says Rav Elia Omer Blach, Parshas Chayei Sarah is the parsha of the significance of those small, oftentimes overlooked, insignificant acts. It's a message to every single one of us who sometimes gets frustrated. And I got to go do the shopping, and I got to do the homework, and I got to do the carpool. And you say to yourself, what value, what significance does my day have? Says Reb Lach, your day has a lot of significance. Because you are forming the building blocks of relationships, of communicating messages and values and Judaism over the next generation. So we should never overlook the significance of those oftentimes seemingly insignificant acts. And so we saw 3 ideas. I thought there were 3 beautiful ideas. They actually connect very beautifully together if you weave them together. But we saw 3 very beautiful ideas in 30 minutes. Number one is Hashem Beirachas Avram Bakol. The Gemara in Baba Basra says that Avram had a stone that hung around his neck, Shekol Chola, that every sick person who saw it was healed. And that once Avram Avinu passed away, Tala Kadosh Baruch Hu Begal Golchama, Hashem hung it under the sun. Says Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer, what does that mean? It means that Avram had this ability to uplift the spirits of those around him. And when Avram Avinu is no longer around, that becomes our responsibility. That becomes our mission. Right? When we say in Koheles, Ma Yisron La'adam, what is the purpose of our existence on this world? She'am Moltach HaSashamesh, that we fill in what Avram left off by showing that same care and that same compassion to everyone else. Idea number 2 came from Elokei HaShemayim, Elokei HaAretz, the Maharal, that Avram introduced this chiddush into the world, that we find Hashem through our very physical activities, Bikur Cholim, Hachnasas Orchim, all of these things, a beautiful insight of the Maharal. Idea number three came from Rav Eliyahu Meir Blach. The significance of our seemingly insignificant actions. Again, a very beautiful idea, a very powerful and empowering idea for every single one of us. And with that, I wish you all a beautiful, meaningful, inspirational Shabbos. For those who are texting me, Refuah Shleima, I feel fine. Just don't have a voice. So we'll see how the drasha goes this Shabbos. Everyone have a beautiful